I just had such a beautiful picture of even as we were singing, and you know, the worship this morning for me is very prophetic, obviously in a sense of where Graham is here. Praise the Here, broer. Yes. Wat gaan jy testimony share? Okay, I'm gonna pause my picture. I'll tell you my picture just now.
I say good morning, church. Yeah, so on Friday, I was basically in for emergency at the hospital. Like on Wednesday, on Wednesday throughout the day, like I started just not feeling well, and then on Thursday it got slightly worse, but on Friday I just couldn't take it anymore. But I didn't know what was wrong with me at all, and yeah, so. Yeah, after like many checks that they had to do, and yeah, so my fever was over the roof. Like every time when the doctor came in, he was like, "Shoo, man, you are boiling." But yeah, so eventually they found it out that it was a bladder infection. So after that, they could put me on antibiotic drugs. So I'm just grateful for the Lord just for answers for what is wrong. And yeah, I'm here this morning. I just want to thank also just the church, because on Friday I reached out to pastor to ask if they can just pray for me. So that definitely helped me. And I think one Bible verse that stood out for me, that is in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 3. This Bible verse really helped me, especially on Friday. It says that by the fruit, obviously this speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, that says that it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. And I think like I've missed like the one word, it's like long-suffering. And especially on Friday, I know this might sound really dark, but I really felt like I couldn't take it anymore. Like, I was really at a low, and that Bible verse really helped me just to get it through. I knew that although like I don't know what's wrong with me and I had to go through this pain, but I know the Lord would eventually just take me through it. Yeah, so thank you. Amen.
So Father, we just pray for Graham. Thank you for your blessing of him, that he will heal properly and continue to walk in that. Father, thank you for your blessing upon him and your hands upon him, and we give you thanks that he has been healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks for sharing. That is so cool. That's the last place we want to be, is in the hospital. Any case, so I just, and as he was sharing now, I realized the picture that I saw was just a child walking with his hands in his father's, you know, his hand in his father's hand, and just following the father. And while he was sharing now, I realized my picture is more or less that, where we just place our hand in God's hand. And I know at this stage, you know, it's been mentioned now a couple of times that voting day on Wednesday, and we are going there to make our cross, and I hope you're doing that too. But for me, it is just that picture of we can actually shift nothing, but it's when we put our hand in our Father's hand and he leads us, where things will truly change completely. Where he's in control. He knows the future. He knows where he's leading us. He knows the plans that he has for us. And all we can do is trust him and say, Father, but I trust you with everything that I am. I'm actually trusting you with my future. And I'm putting my hand in yours, and I'm just asking you to lead me through this. So I don't know what the state of your heart is, maybe, and I think even as we were praying this morning, you know, there's a lot of news going on. There's a lot of mudslinging going on in our country at the moment. There's a lot of promises being made of change and future to come. And maybe some of us sitting here today are uncertain of the future. Maybe your heart is even fearful. Maybe you're wondering, you know that thought of immigrating is becoming even more prevalent in your heart. And some of us are sitting here and we are so full of faith, it's running over. You've got a hope, you know God is in control. And I just trust, even through what I'm sharing, and even the worship ministry this morning, I trust that that would bless your heart and cause you to even draw closer to God and want to hear His voice. You know, even myself, as I've been thinking, how do I vote on Wednesday? You know, my mind has been back and forth because, like I say, parties make promises and, you know, you look at what they believe and all these things. And I kind of concluded that I have to vote actually with wisdom from the Lord on this one. It's not just about walking in there on Wednesday and going, okay, this makes sense to me. Because I've learned that walking by faith, pretty much all the time, has got nothing to do with what makes sense to me. When I walk by faith, I'm actually putting my hand in my Father's and I say, you lead me wherever you want. And many of us sitting here would testify that our journey with God has been of such that, you know, you kind of pray, or if you've got a prophetic word or you get a scripture or something, and you're thinking, okay, this is how it's going to play out. God's going to lead me there. And then when God starts walking, the picture actually looks different. And I want to say this morning that it doesn't matter what is being said out there. Our God determines everything. And we just simply have to place our hand in His hand. We have to hear His voice. We need to trust Him with everything that is in us. And I want to agree with you on this. Tuesday, you know, we are not many. But you don't need many. You only need two or three, and then God says, I am there. And then we've got the majority. No? Just think about this. Tuesday, when we come together, we're going to pray for Wednesday. And when we get together, our Father's here. And then the tables turn. It is like, more or less like with a crucifixion. The devil thought he's got Jesus exactly where he wants him. He's going to kill him now. But God. He did not bank on Jesus getting out of that grave. Taking the keys of death and Hades from him and unlocking eternal life for all of us. He did not see that coming. I want to prophetically proclaim the devil is not seeing what's coming in this nation. Amen. It's not over. This is the beginning of awesome stuff. Okay, I've got one amen there. So I think I'll go with the one amen. I just need one amen. What is your faith expectation even for after Wednesday? Man, it's going to be good. Why? You know why? Because we are here. And you know why that matters? It's because our Father loves us. And we are His people, called in this nation to make a difference. Now I want to read through two Psalms basically this morning. And pretty much we've worshipped the one this morning. I love it when the Lord Skinners, you know, it's like, okay, Corbis, I want you to preach about this, and then they sing about it, or Nicole or someone shares it in intercession. I'm like, so the Lord does speak, right? Yeah. Not just to me. So I'm loving this. This is really cool. But Psalms 34, and this is not on there at the moment, but Psalm 34, no, I think I did put it on there. It starts the following way. It says, David, when he was, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. Now, what a way to start a psalm. Now, if you go read 1 Samuel 21, David was fleeing from Saul, and he gets to Abimelech, and he realizes that he's putting everybody in danger, and this is not a good place to be. And he wants to actually get out of there, but they also obviously want to welcome him. So he actually changes his behavior. He becomes like a madman. He starts writing on walls and stuff and does all sorts of fearful things because he's now scared. Even in that, it's the place where he was looking for bread, where he got the holy bread to eat as well. But he completely changes his behavior so that the king actually sends him away. He's like, I don't want this madman. Why must he be around here? Just let him go. and he leaves. And it's not clear what this psalm actually, or why this heading is on top of this psalm. Except maybe to say that David realized how good God is despite his mistakes. Because he looked at the situation in a certain way and thought, you know, I'll solve it by becoming this or doing that. And he realized that you know, maybe I've made a mistake. Maybe I tried to change circumstances out of my wisdom. And he writes Psalm 34. Now, the truth is, even as we are sitting here this morning, as many of us might come to the conclusion later that we have tried to manipulate things in our lives by changing our behavior, by doing certain things, and not fully trusting in God to shift things. It is a powerful moment. It is an incredible moment when you are wrestling through something and God comes onto the scene. And He changes everything. And if you read David's story, it is full of instances where he encountered different scenarios and events, and then God pitches. And he wrote Psalms, many of them giving glory to God of the way that God actually pitches in his lives. And I think for us, as we sit here this morning, what Psalms would we write? If we have to start writing about the goodness of God in our lives, if we just have to sit still for a moment to go, wow, Father, I worship you for this, or I give glory to you for that, and you were there, and I, you know, maybe, because sometimes we don't see it in the circumstances, but we only notice it afterwards that God actually was there, showing himself strong, being mighty on our behalf. The thing is, it just didn't look like what we thought it should look like. And then I have to stand in awe and go, God, wow, okay, look how awesome you are. See what you have done. And I am changed through this. So verse 1, 2, 3 in Psalm 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You know what I love about this three verses is that he's not just doing this on his own. There's an invitation to say, come. Let's all magnify the Lord. Let's all get together. Let's all make a joyful noise unto the Lord because he is good. Huh? And I will do it at all times. How did you wake up this morning? Okay, never mind. Did you wake up with, I bless you, Lord. I exalt your holy name. You are awesome. Or did you wake up with, where's my coffee? I don't know. I didn't wake up with, I bless the Lord this morning. Okay. I woke up with her switching on the light. So unthoughtful, you know, still wanted to sleep because she had to be here before me. Love you. My soul makes boast in the Lord. Man, there's a boasting, there's a confidence, there's a standing up, being boastful almost of who his God is. And I tell you, we're going to walk the rest of this year out, and God's praises being on our lips. We're going to boast about his glory and his majesty and his power, because you know what? We're going to look back and we're going to look at this voting and we're going to see the hand of God on our nation. And we're going to have to glorify him because he is still on the throne and he's still on control. You remember 94? Can I just remind us here? Everybody in the nations, they sent guys here to come form the absolute chaos that was going to happen here. You know what happened? Not much. Because God. And if your heart is fearful this morning, if your heart is uncertain, May I remind you this morning that the same God that was in control in 94 is still in control. I know there are forces and people that want to shift things in certain ways and do stuff. Yes, they are there. But our God is way more stronger and powerful than any of them. And then in verse 7, David continues this, and I want us to, I want to stand still on this portion for a while. He says, "And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Ha, come on. We sang this morning, right? He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack." Sure. So I want us just to notice four things here. I want you to pick up on them. And I'm trusting as you pick up on them that they will bless your heart. They will change your relationship with God. Maybe open your eyes even as to what is different for us as we sit here. The first thing is the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. But it's not like he just encamps around them. It's like he delivers them. Okay, he sets them free. So for me, that is protection. When the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him, there is protection. There is even deliverance. It says nothing here of what the people are doing. It just says, but God is actually encamping on those, around those. The angel of the Lord is there. Now, this is not a topic that we often speak about, angels and so on. But this encourages me. When I read this in the week, or last 2 weeks, I've been meditating about this. I've been encouraged. Because I'm thinking, so the angel of the Lord is encamping around me. So I can be bold. Why must I worry? Because he's given his angels charge over me. And they're encamping around me. The angel of the Lord is encamping around me. Maybe just say to yourself, the angel of the Lord is encamping around me. Maybe just tap someone there next to you and go like, hey, the angel of the Lord is encamping around me. Okay? Why? Because I fear the Lord. But you can't say that if you're not fearing the Lord. Okay? The second thing is, there's an invitation. Come taste and see. Come taste and see what? That the Lord is good. Every day when you wake up, there's this invitation from God saying, man, come taste, come see, come journey with me. Come, let's walk together. I want to just show you my goodness. I want to just, man, it's almost like he wants to just, you know, flex, brag, call it what you want. But he was going like, can I just show you? Come and taste and see who I really am. So for me, that's such an invitation to intimacy with the Father. I don't know what's happening tomorrow when you wake up. Maybe some of you are like, oh, deadlines, or I must go there, or do that, or whatever. You know, all the teachers are going, oh, the kids are still going to be there tomorrow. It's not holiday again. But I want to encourage you that God wants to show you his goodness tomorrow as much as he wants to do that today. The next one says, blessed. The Amplified goes, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Ah, is the man who takes refuge in him. Is the man who chooses to make God his shelter. The man who sits, when he's fearful, he runs to God. He does not run away from the Lord. But he seeks him as a refuge. And if your heart are fearful this morning, I want to say to you, this is you. There is blessing that is waiting when you run into God. I don't know what other circumstances and stuff that you are facing. But blessed is the man who makes God his refuge. You made God your refuge when you were lying there on Friday. You could have chosen to do a pity party thing. But no, you chose to take God's word, meditate upon it, and it changed your life. You made him your refuge. And every time when we face things in life, when we run to God in this way, he becomes this fortress, a refuge, a place of safety for us. And I must just say, the man, this blessing, this happy, fortunate to be envied, this kind of blessing, if I understand the Bible right, goes down the generations. It touches my children's children. And then the last thing I want you to see is, those that fear him, those that stand in reverence and in awe of him, those that actually fear him because he's God and he can go, and you're not there anymore. Sometimes I think we want to shy away from the fact that he's a holy, almighty God and that we should actually be scared of him. Because he's all-powerful, almighty. You don't mess with someone like that. Grace allows me to enter in and to enter in boldly, but may the Lord help me that I never become vinti, arrogant in his presence, that I have worship and fear for him, that I love him, I stand in awe of him. Those that fear him have no lack. It speaks to me about provision. Speaks to me of a God who says, I am there whenever you need me. Now this no lack thing. I think the first thing that pops up in our hearts when we hear that is, but excuse me, Lord, my bank balance is not looking good. I have lack. You know, my car is not working. Lord, did you see last month what the cupboards looked like? The food was my done. I'm done. But what this speaks about is that those that fear the Lord will have all their needs abundantly supplied. Now again, in our mind, we immediately think that we should have everything in abundance. But what the scripture says is that sooner rather than later, all your real necessities will be met. The stuff that you really need, not the stuff that you want. I've got wants. I'm sure some of us here got lots of wants. Huh? We want to need. But I think sometimes we confuse our wants with needs. And when we have that confusion, we almost want to become demands. Lord, why are you not doing this? I am praying for this. So what? But sooner rather than later, your real necessities will be met. He bestows on us every blessing. If you are not sure about that, I want you to just turn around in your life and just go look and see God's hand upon your life. But what this says is that those that fear the Lord will never in any instance be hungry or thirsty or destitute, or that they will have, it doesn't say that we will have these things, that we will not be hungry or destitute, or that we will have only have nice comfortable homes. It does not say these things. Sorry, I jumped the gun there. It does, however, say that God's blessing will rest on those that fear him at all times. Now, I can tell you from a life that we've had lack. We've had some terrible circumstances in our lives. I've sat on that valley where I look into hopelessness because I see absolute no future. Just after 94. Because my skin color was wrong. And when we got to Cape Town, I handed out 64 CVs as a qualified plumber, and nobody wanted me. You know what that does to you? So I sat on Hoop verloorse vlakte, that's what I call it. Where there's no hope, when you stare into the nothing and I cannot see how I'm getting out of here. Where you walk up to the bank teller and you want to draw 20 rand and you put your thing in and it goes insufficient funds. And all I wanted to do is buy bread so that we can have something to eat. And you have nothing. You know, and if I look back now, by the way, I had a groot meltdown that day of royal proportions, only to meet God, my provider. Because the one thing God said to me is, Kobus, who is your source, me or that bank teller? Are you so secure that you think only when there's money in that bank that you are fine, or are you fine because I am Jehovah Jireh? And then I had a groot geheel again, all over again. But the thing is, if I look back, I can see God's blessing, I can see His provision. It did not look the way that I look at it. You know what? And I want to tell you, maybe you look down this year and you don't see how this is going to change or what is going to happen, but I want to tell you the goodness of God is still upon you. He's still for you. He's still got a plan for you and a hope and a future. All you need to do is fear Him, trust in Him, rely on Him with everything that you... It's like clinging to the rope, and it's the only thing you have to... You know, you're hanging on a cliff and all you have is this rope. It's all you need is God. Your circumstances will say that, oh, you're in trouble. And your God says, can I show you my glory? And the moment I trust Him, I choose to fear Him, that He will show me, and I will have no lack. I am blessed beyond measure, regardless of what this country looks like, what my bank account looks like. I look at where we are now and I go, I don't know how we got here, but for the blessing of the Lord. And if you want to hear our testimony, we can tell you our testimony over a braai. Yeah, at your house. correction, backspace. Okay, great. But the other thing that stands out for me from this portion of scripture is just again that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. In other words, what this that portion means is He pitches His tent to defend and protect. So God, the angel of the Lord, pitches His tent around those who fear the Lord to defend and protect. The idea here is that the angel of the Lord protects the people as an army defends a country. We have army in South Africa, and every country have them. And the purpose of that army is to defend that country. And the angel of the Lord encamps around you in the same way. To defend you, to watch over you, to protect you. But I think we, as Christians, often neglect to understand even the role that the angels of the Lord actually plays in this life. And maybe this morning you will just even wake up to the idea that God has got, it's not just you and God, but He's got His armies, His angels around you to protect you and to guard over you. Now if you go look at the Old Testament, we see that in the Old Testament there's often references to angels of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, and the Lord, and the angel of the Lord. And it seems like when you look at these things that the moment that there comes in there, that it refers to a specific angel. It's not just a general angel. It's not. It is a specific angel that He is referring to. And when we look at these scriptures, and I've got quite a few scriptures here this morning that I have not put up there, but you're welcome to come ask me for them if you want to. But when the Bible speaks about the angel of the Lord, that angel often identifies himself as God. He often exercises the responsibilities of God as well. And it's interesting, when the angel of the Lord often appears in the Bible, people fall down as if dead, because they know that they have come into the presence of God. You know, when the angels were around the shepherd, you know, and so on, things happened. But when the angel of the Lord appears, people react differently to him. It's interesting to note that the phrase, the angel of the Lord, actually stops or disappears from the Bible after the birth of Jesus Christ. It doesn't go into the New Testament. So what we can conclude is that the angel of the Lord was the, let me just get that word right, the pre-incarnated Christ. It's before he became born as a man. Now that blesses me, because it's one thing to think that I have angels that camp around me. It's a whole other thing to think this is Jesus encamping around me. That pitches his tent in my life and protects me like an army protects the country. That is for me. It kind of changes my mind and changes my view from understanding the scripture that man, when he says he is for me, he really means he is for me. You don't just pitch a tent anywhere. He pitches his tent right there next to you. So I want us to quickly just to, because I thought about this and it gives me so much peace to know that it doesn't matter what comes, what happens. When the angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him, we are fine. We will be okay. There's provision and all these things that come with it. But I want us to quickly read through Psalm 91. And I want you, get it out on your phones quickly if you want to. Don't just look at the screen. But if you have a Bible, maybe open your Bible there. Because this is also a psalm that you can go and sit and meditate on and think about. And it just, you know, it just fitted for me so well with Psalm 34. As I was thinking and meditating on it. And it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, come on. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That is your declaration. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. From COVID. Or any other disease or sickness. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Notice there, both day and night. Not just when you get up, the protection is there 24/7. Okay. Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at the noonday. 1,000 may fall on your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. There's some thought that needs to go in there, right? The Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels, oh, there it is again, concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Not just some of your ways. Sure, come on. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Funny that the devil quoted this, no? When he tempted Jesus. You will tread on the lion and the adder. Matthew, right? 28. No, is that Mark? Mark 16, no? The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Oh man, that speaks of authority. And then it's almost like God answers. He goes, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. So that says that we are not going to have trouble. But when the trouble is there, he says he will be there. Amen? I will rescue him, which still means you still need to be rescued. Okay? I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, the one thing that I am certain of, that I do not compromise on, is that I will die in the appointed season when Jesus is done with me. And not sickness, not disease, not an accident, not a world war. Doesn't matter what happens on this side of heaven, I will not die until Jesus is done with me. And it's with that confidence, knowing that he covers and protects me and holds me, that I place all my cards on the table before him. I put all my trust in him. So even as we go to vote on Wednesday, he is my only hope. A political party can't save me. Some great idea can't save me. But man, my God can. I want to just remind us that since we got to Cape Town in 1997, we've heard about this prophecy that revival will break out in Cape Town and spread up in Africa. I want to say to you, we need to contend for that. We need to press in for that. And it's when we, the saints, the sons and daughters of God, turn our eyes fully to him, completely trust him with everything that is in us, that things will shift. So I want to encourage you, when you do go and vote on Wednesday, go with the word of God in your heart, by the power of the Spirit. And maybe just pray as you go. Instead of moaning about the political parties, maybe share of the glory of God. Stir people's faith in that queue. They're going to stand there for a while. You know, it's a captured audience. Just think about that. If he doesn't like you, then maybe he can go stand in the back again, but he can't go forward. So he's busted. Eh? Man, if you know that God is busy ministering to this dude, maybe follow him to the end of the road. Yeah, any case. So that next slide, if you don't mind. Tuesday we're going to pray. And saints, I want us to call us as a congregation to pray. Listen, I know your lives are busy. But you can have Wednesday off. Because Tuesday we're going to pray. Amen. Okay? We're going to meet here. We're going to call on the God who's the only one that can change South Africa. And we're going to trust him to again show himself strong on our behalf. Because there's two scriptures I just want to share with you. Just to say, that scripture will be our confidence. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. So Romans 13, 1b says this, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Proverbs 21:1 says this, the king's heart is as a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. Come on. Saints, I know South Africa has got issues. We've got some skeletons in the cupboard. Okay? Some of them we really don't like. But I believe as we stand in unity and pray, As we stand before God as one, God commands a blessing. Let's stand. Let's stand.